This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Bill Ryder with you. Happy Thursday. If it sounds like I'm in a phenomenal mood, it's because I am. 5 hours of radio coming at you. This program, Writer Than You, thank you for being here for the next 2 hours. And then I had the distinct pleasure and honor to fill in for Jim Rome on the Jim Rome Show over the course of that program. So I'm sitting here in the beautiful Jim Rome studios, looking at Alvin DeLauro, looking at Garrett Chocolate Wars Ritt, who's just, I don't know what he's crushing, Starbucks muffin or some hot chocolate, who knows? Who knows? It's 7 in the morning. It could be any of the above. By the way, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. A lot of great stuff coming up over the next 2 hours here, 5 hours overall on CBS Sports Radio. We've got the executive producer of this program, Thomas, Tommy DiBenedetto, producer underscore Tom. Tom, how's your Thursday going?
Good morning, Bill. It's a big day. I'm looking forward to the 5 hour marathon.
Love everything. Love everything about that. Well, let's go. Let's strap in. Let's get it going. I want to thank Aaron Rodgers, by the way. He's the gift that keeps on giving. I love drama. We're going to start with that here in a moment. We will get to Tony La Russa, who, how do I put this, doesn't know the rules of Major League Baseball. I'm not an expert necessarily, right? I haven't covered baseball in a minute. But it feels like understanding the actual rules of the game would be a significant advantage. And it turns out that that is true. We're going to make fun of La Russa, and it's going to feel so good. NBA power rankings, which are quite difficult, by the way, at the end of the hour. Shaquille O'Neal has weighed in on his view of the top five players in the NBA. So have the Ringer. All of this because why five? Not just because it's a nice, even sort of half a 10 number, it feels complete. It's the number of votes, the number of players that receive a spot on every official NBA MVP ballot. And I'm one of those voters. We'll talk about Shaq's list, the Ringer's list, my list. I like the NBA. I love the NBA. I think it's incredibly well run. But that doesn't mean they don't occasionally show up and are just utterly and totally tone deaf and toothless and hypocritical. And the NBA certainly was all three of those things, the trifecta of disappointment in their quote-unquote punishment of Kyrie Irving for breaking the rules that I didn't establish, that the NBA established. We'll hit that in the show, buy or sell. So, the latest on Aaron Rodgers is a growing consensus among those that would know that he's not going to be back in Green Bay. You're talking lifelong beat reporters who have covered the Packers for a long time, people on the periphery of that organization. We're going to add a voice of expertise and insight to that conversation later on here on CBS Sports Radio on the Jim Rome Show. In the last hour of Jim Show, so all the way at 11 a.m. Pacific time, what is that, 2 p.m. Eastern time, Brady Papinga is going to be on the program. Brady played for the Packers, won a Super Bowl, was there for the transition from Favre to Aaron Rodgers, and is close enough, right, with Rodgers, that the only time I've ever had a real substantive conversation with Aaron Rodgers was on a radio show that I hosted with Brady Papinga a few times, because Rodgers would come on with his boy Papinga. We'll get Brady's perspective. But the general view is Rodgers ain't coming back. And the Packers, so the latest turn of the screw, the thing that has pushed the story along, is the Packers only, it's not just a Jordan Love problem, although it is, right? If Rodgers is doing his thing, if he takes his MVP hardware and talent and that golden arm and that mercurial personality and all of the wins that come with him, let's be honest, he is a winner. And in the final conclusion, that is the thing that matters. It's really the only thing that matters. If Aaron Rodgers takes all of that to Denver or to a Raiders organization that does not deserve him. Let me just point out real quick, Mr. Gruden, the guy that I crushed the moment the Raiders hired him for $100 million for 10 years, over the same time span as Mr. Del Rio, the former coach, worse record, fewer playoff appearances, fewer playoff wins. Raiders don't deserve Rodgers. He could go there anyway. Or the Niners, the Green Bay Packers are going to have to make it work with Jordan Love, of course. But there's only two quarterbacks that are currently on the Packers roster. So not only, and by the way, Aaron Rodgers knows this, not only is there a huge dose of humiliation that Rodgers is shoving down the throats of the GM that he wants out and that head coach in that organization. And not only is there that prickling fear that keeps you up at night, that the dream you've achieved is going to be taken away through your own incompetence because you've been checkmated by someone you didn't even know you're playing against, Mr. Gutekunst. Not only all that, they got to go find some backup QB. And it made me think about how we got here, right? Here's a reality, and proud people, winners and losers, those who achieve always presume that the habits and the rules and the guidelines that got them to success are etched in stone. It was always A, it was always B, that's what led me to C, but that's not the reality of the world. You evolve or you die. Here's something that GMs around the NFL better be paying attention to, because it's not just Aaron Rodgers. It's not just an Aaron Rodgers story. It's a Tom Brady story, and it was almost a Russell Wilson story. You have to manage your quarterback the way that NBA teams manage their superstars. When they get to a certain threshold of ability, of excellence, in a market that craves QBs without the supply, that excellence equals power. They can flex it, they cannot flex it. Look, LeBron James felt like he was going to be a sure thing, right? Gets drafted many, many years ago, number one overall, goes to the hometown Cleveland Cavaliers, but he didn't have real power until it became clear he was good enough to carry a team to an NBA championship. You have to accept that there's going to be an adjustment period. So we've, that ship has sailed on Aaron Rodgers, right? What he wanted was not to be disrespected. And there's reason for him to be angry. I mean, the Bears, and I love the Bears. I mean, just, look, I'm not real happy over the years with the Bears GM or the Bears head coach. But the fact that they had a pretty good draft, they drafted Justin Fields, and they're just rubbing salt in the wounds of the Packers, even though the Packers have been one of the exemplary organizations for 20 years plus, and the Bears have, how do I put this scientifically, subtracted from the sum of all human excellence and joy. It doesn't change the fact that I'm enjoying the Bears just league. Oh, yeah, we are sources. I don't think sources. On the record. Yeah, we called Carson Palmer. Let him know we're going to get a QB because that's how we operate. We believe in respect. And you know Aaron Rodgers, like, these dudes respect Carson Palmer. Carson, QB1 Palmer, more than my organization respects me. So that ship has sailed. Maybe don't cut a receiver that he praised the day before, right? Really like this. He's cut. So we put together a how-to list for how to just navigate some of the quarterbacks in the National Football League. We're going to do this free of charge. We're going to give it to you. We're not the Athletic. We're not charging for our content here on CBS Sports Radio. So all the GMs with QBs that you feel like you know who your guy is, perk up, listen, put down your fancy latte. We got you. Baker Mayfield. I'm not even sure Baker's a remarkable quarterback yet, but I do think the Browns showcased last year that along with what, the Bills, they're the most dangerous team in the AFC to what is the rising Chiefs dominance. And managing Baker's not hard. All right, you don't have to you don't have to avoid the whole quarterback drafting thing. You don't have to worry about the player personnel decisions that you make and include him. All you need to do is give Baker a few frills. Bring in an acting coach. Tell him that LeBron James sucked in Space Jam 2. Just call him in and lie. Like, you know what? I got to tell you, Baker, we saw Space Jam 2. It's terrible. LeBron can't hold a candle to your acting skills. It's amazing. And just get him some auditions. That's it. Baker Mayfield, boom. Satisfied. Happy. Kyler Murray. Just tell him that not only is he an amazing quarterback, but that you're sure he would have been a Hall of Famer in baseball. That dream is still alive. Just keep him feeling good about himself. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger is pretty easy, too. Just tell him he's everybody's first choice at QB. He's amazing. Nobody doubts the ability to be an incredible quarterback. And he can continue not to make eye contact with anybody in the organization. He doesn't have to be nice. Like, Ben, you do you. I think with Dak Prescott, you just tell him that the reason it took so long to finish his contract is you really didn't know how much to pay him. It's like we were actually not negotiating with you. We were just working with the NFL to try and see if we could pay you the most humanly possible. Tell Lamar Jackson that the offensive passing offense isn't a problem. Everything's great. We're going to add some receivers every offseason for the rest of your career. We'll draft a bunch of them. It's basically an opposite Aaron Rodgers situation. With Tom Brady, just continue to let Alex Guerrero into the building, right? Like, just, you might be a little creeped out, right? It doesn't feel good, you know? You ignore that feeling in your gut. You know, when you see children turn away, you don't worry about it. You just let him do his thing. Josh Allen and Justin Herbert, you just, I think, just be like, hey, thanks for being super nice, reasonable dudes. Like, this is really refreshing. I think really just call them in and be like, I just want to tell you that we really like you. Like, just as a person. Thank you for not being Ben Roethlisberger as a talent and A-Rod as a personality. This is great. You're amazing. And then for the Bears, for Carson Palmer, you just put QB1 everywhere. You take out billboards. You don't put his name next to it. You let him think it's about him. Tweet it out a bunch right up until the moment in week 2 when you bench that dude. This is the reality of the National Football League. And that is where the Packers GM made a career-altering mistake. Because he ran into a few things simultaneously that are interesting and that I think speak to where we're at in the National Football League. One, quarterback power is absolute and real. That's been true before it was realized. Two, he was ham-fisted or arrogant or, in the context of a football organization, socially awkward. And how he handled the Jordan Love situation, how he handled some of the player personnel situations, that he didn't draft a receiver in the first round. Remember, Pat Riley, I'm going to give you an NBA comparison. It's not easy to genuflect as a star before someone that you require. But you got to do it. Pat Riley did it. Pat Riley, I don't remember who it was. Was it Shabazz Napier? Some random player that LeBron wanted. Back in the day. I don't even think that's the right guy. I can't remember. Because that guy's not even in the NBA anymore. Or he barely is. And then LeBron left. LeBron's like, I really like this guy. And they drafted him. And they didn't want to. And LeBron left anyway. Pat Riley had the wherewithal to understand he got to manage your stars. Gutekunst didn't do that. And then the third thing that happened to the Packers organization, and really the Packers general manager, is they forgot, they didn't realize, you're not dealing with Justin Herbert. You're not dealing with Josh Allen. You're not dealing with some introverted, shy, or polite, or overly respectful dude. Aaron Rodgers is a killer, man. How have you not, if you're part of that Packers brass, watched Aaron Rodgers play, watched the way in which he has almost no emotion when the moment is at its biggest? He is so cold-blooded. He is so impressively calm. He's a killer on the field. Winning is everything to him. And the same drive, passion, gear, switch he can flip that makes him that quarterback in big moments as well as small. Because that's the key, right? Every guy that gets drafted into the National Football League can throw a football. Few really can throw a football well in the first quarter. It's hard enough to just do in general. It's really difficult to do in the fourth quarter in playoff games and big moments. You got to have a party that's merciless, that's ambitious. We use the term assassin all the time to talk about these athletes who in the big moments are amazing. An assassin is someone who murders people for money. Like, that's the comparison that we're making. There's a ruthlessness there. And that applies off the field, off the court, off the diamond, as much as it does in. All right, 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. Keep your quarterback happy. I forgot Mahomes. That's easy. It's just like, is Hines a good ketchup? I actually don't know. Is there really a difference from one ketchup maker to another? I'm not really sure, to be honest. But I'll go Hines. I'll just say Hines. Congratulations, Hines. You got the nod. Oh, Tom is telling me there's a massive difference in ketchups. You just sign a life. By the way, this is disgusting. If Mahomes wasn't Mahomes, I would criticize. It's so gross. It is so gross. Like something, you know, taste is subjective. Yeah, in some situations. But if I see you eating dirt from, you know, the next to the sidewalk with cigarette butts, and you're like, hey, it's my taste. Like, cool. Your taste is gross. So is ketchup on steak. But regardless, you just get Mahomes, a lifetime supply of Heinz. It's always there. You got it in the locker room. It's easy. All right, 855-212-4CBS. Tony La Russa. I'm not a big La Russa fan. I'm not. And I don't know what joke to make. Am I supposed to make a joke about old people? That feels like it's wrong and it's unfair to old people. Am I supposed to make a joke about people that drink too much? I mean, that is the pot calling the kettle black in my case. So to be fair, I don't drive. I just, you know, there's this thing called Uber. Feels like it's unfair to people that drink too much. Tony La Russa blew a game for the White Sox because he didn't know, I'm just not making this up. He didn't know the rules of baseball. And you don't have to take my word for it. He accidentally owned himself and got owned in a press conference. We will play that for you and talk about the great big red flashing warning sign that is La Russa being past his prime, the game having, literally as it relates to the rules, passed him by next year on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Welcome into the show, or back into the show. Bill Ryder with you. Thanks for hanging out. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. Twitter, Sports Writer, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. NBA Power Rankings coming up. We'll talk Shaq's five best players in the NBA. I'm really disappointed in the NBA. In Adam Silver, in the executives, in the toothless, paltry, cowardly way they've responded to one of their superstars flaunting the rules and being disrespectful. We'll hit that at some point in the program, and Tom DiBenedetto will get here and talk a little buy or sell, as we always do, at the end of the show. I'm going to hit La Russa in a minute. I don't want to belabor this very long. I just want to put a warning out there to sports fans. Two things that are happening that you should care about, even if you don't care about soccer and you don't care about golf. Two things have happened the last few weeks that I think are some insight into the greed of the incredibly powerful people who have so much money that when they tinker and when they exploit and when they turn their greed towards sports, it can alter the fabric of what we've known and how we followed sports for a long time. One is this Super League story. In international soccer, you don't need to know soccer to know. Hear the details. There were 12 of the most important teams, really 11 of the most important teams in the world, and Tottenham. It's a little soccer joke right there for you. And were offered a bunch of money, basically amongst themselves, to break away from the premier European tournament at the expense of not only that tournament, but several of the teams of their domestic league. Okay. You've also got this move on the golf side to create this premier league of golf, basically in which very wealthy people are going to offer the top golfers in the world a bunch of money to do their own thing. Here's why you should care. Because and not all of the uber rich, I don't want to pretend that every person that's got $1 billion or more in the bank fits this profile, but enough to that it's disrupted the fabric of sports fans' lives across the country and now the world. They don't care about your traditions, necessarily. They don't care about what's right. And what begins as stealing a team, going, say, to Seattle, purchasing a team, and moving that team to Oklahoma City the entire time intending to do that, and is now transitioned to stealing whole teams, right? Leagues could transition to anything on the face of the earth. As there's more money consolidated into fewer hands, as there's people who get greedy. I mean, it's not just St. Louis fans who don't have the Rams. It's not just Supersonics fans who don't even have a Supersonics anywhere on the face of the earth. Beware of this trend. There's nothing to stop a similar plan in the next lockout, say, in the NBA, from just offering the top 30 players in basketball a bunch of money to come to a different league. You want the people that own and operate your sports teams, our sports teams, to respect the traditions. You don't have to like the people that run all of these organizations. I'm not exactly the captain, the president of the Robert Manfred fan club. But I want baseball fix from the inside, not from some rich dude or group of dudes on the outside. Speaking of fixing baseball, it would certainly help if if the people that ran Major League Baseball knew what they were doing. And I just mean the manager day to day. There's this debate, and I think it's an interesting one. I think it's certainly a debatable point. To what degree does a manager really impact a game? How many games, you know, what is the replacement level value or above replacement level value of a great manager in Major League Baseball? A lot of people would argue it's zero. I think that's wrong. But it's very pronounced in football. Whoever your head coach is matters significantly day to day. Same is true in basketball, to a lesser degree than the NFL. There's a sense that it doesn't matter in baseball. That sense is wrong. Not just because there's a clear connection between how you handle your bullpen and the decisions you make in-game and outcomes, which is why sabermetrically inclined, analytically inclined baseball minds are being intrusive / collaborative in bullpen decisions. The Dodgers are the poster child for this. The Dodgers were at the forefront, whatever Dave Roberts said, have been at the forefront of the front office being very involved in in-game decision-making. And the Dodgers have been wildly successful and are the reigning World Series champions. It's also just true that a bad manager can cost you a game. You make a bad decision, you leave a pitcher in too long, whatever it may be. Tony La Russa's deal, though, it takes the cake. Here's the sort of baseline. We'll play of the sound. The White Sox, who are a really good baseball team, have massive expectations. I think they're currently tied for first in that division. We're playing Cincinnati, and as you know, in extra innings, and it was an extra innings game, a player is automatically put on second base. Now, the way that works is that whoever made the last out the inning before is that automatic runner on second base, unless it's your closer, right? Or it's a pitcher, and then it's the guy before that, but you have the option to send that guy out. It's not a computer situation. It's not Google running the team for the White Sox, though maybe it should be. So Liam Hendricks was part of a double switch, went into that spot, and then Liam Hendricks went out to second base. Everyone's like, why isn't Abreu going? I don't understand. Well, the lack of understanding was the problem. It just wasn't yours or mine. It was somebody very, very specific. And what's amazing about this is the Reds ended up getting out of a jam. Hendricks got to third because there was a play that normally you would have had to hedge a little bit against the runner on third, but they got to hell with it. I think I read Hendricks had only been at or past first base one time in his career as a runner. And the bafflement you and I shared of what the hell Tony La Russa was doing, it got answered in a very awkward post-game press conference situation.
You have to use the guy who made the last out. And that was Vaughn, not Abreu. So Vaughn made the last out.
The rule book, the MLB.com said, if the player in the batting order immediately preceding that half innings leadoff hitter is the pitcher, the runner placed on second base may be the player preceding the pitcher in the batting order. Did like the umps explain anything like that? Or?
Well, you know, I didn't know that. We all thought that Liam was going to be the runner, and that's why I wanted there, because if you wanted a double switch to keep him in the game, if you look at all, you know, Abreu back to Moncada and so forth, that's not who you want to double switch out of the game. I wasn't aware that Abreu could have run. I thought it had to be the guy who made the last out or that spot in the order. That was why the guys on the bench came out and questioned me about, you know, that Liam was going to be the runner. And I said, yeah, I know. So we didn't know it.
Well, sweet God, you should have. You're the manager of a Major League Baseball team. Can I just defend reporters here? We get a lot of, and I'm not a day-to-day reporter like I used to be, but I consider myself forever one of them. Grind in, fly in coach, whatever. people like Kyrie Irving trying to say we're trying to embarrass people, we're pawns, we're whatever. This is a perfect example. That reporter didn't. That is the worst feeling when you're like, actually, coach, player, you're incredibly stupid. Here's the reason. Like, meekly put your head down. Nobody wants to be that guy. Tony La Russa is way over the hill, man. He spent 20 seconds. Here's the deal. See, there's only two strikes, and then you're out. And that's why we were shocked he was still at the plate. He was actually out, so we had the take pitch there at 0-2. Technically, there's three strikes in the rule book. We didn't know that. 13 seconds later. Here's the deal. It takes five balls to get a walk. It's, you know, if you get to five of those, you get to go to first base for free. It's called a base on balls. But, you know, that's why at 3-2, we're a swing away because there's still two away. Actually, it's four balls you get to go to first. La Russa looks around. Didn't know that either. Anyone got a drink? Am I allowed to make La Russa drinking jokes? I don't care. I just did. Were you sober? I think that's a fair question. If you drink and drive too much and you don't know the rules, I think it's a fair question. My wife asked me that question the other day. What day was it? It's like Wednesday at 11 a.m. and I did something dumb and she said, are you sober? I said, Lori, it's Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pause. Are you sober? Yes, I'm sober. So I ask you, Tony La Russa, you sober, bro? You have to know the rules. And by the way, this would be funny and kind of embarrassing. I would probably make the similar jokes if it were in the fourth inning. Why? I mean, there wouldn't be a double switch to the closer in the fourth inning, but you get, I guess it wouldn't work at all because it's an extra inning situation. But some gaffe, right? This is an extra inning situation where you could have won this game. We didn't know. Well, that's your fault. The freaking reporter, maybe you should hire him. Maybe put him on. Maybe put him on as your bench coach. Here's the thing. The reason I didn't take my closer out in that situation, having given up four runs in that inning and it was 5-5, I thought there were ties. I just thought, I didn't realize that you had to finish. I thought, we'll go for the tie, just like in the first leg of a Premier League game, and we'll move on the second leg. But I guess that's not how a two-game series, is that what I'm being told? Anyone got a drink? Cool. Cool. 855-212-4CBS if you want to give us a call. We're going to do NBA power rankings in a second. I just quickly looking at it, it's a pretty shocking list because every one of these teams has a coach who knows how basketball works. Like, that's a pretty, Tony La Russa, that's a pretty amazing. I wonder if there's a correlation there. Maybe. I don't know. Feels like it. You know what? Like, let's go to a guy who knows how to do his job. That feels refreshing, right? Let's just turn to some. No, I think he does. Let's turn to a guy who knows how it works. How does this button work? Am I allowed to say one of the following five words? No, you're fired. We're all fined. I didn't know. Well, it's your fault. It's Porto La Russa. Except you don't. Now you can go drink. All right. Let's get a CBS Sports Radio update from Andrew Bogish. Bogish, what's up, dude?
Bill, good morning. Let's begin with the Knicks, who pulled into Denver last night, having won 12 of 13, then kind of lost by the end of the first quarter.
Jokic has it. It's a point. Puts it on the floor, gets down the lane on Gibson. Floater good. This is a beatdown. I mean, this is an absolute beatdown. I know we have a long ways to go. Don't get me wrong. Nuggets lead it by 17.
Jason Kosmicki on Nuggets Radio. Jokic outscored the Knicks by himself in the first quarter, 24-12. Denver led by as many as 31 early on before winning 113-97. Jokic giving Michael Malone's team exactly what it needed.
When you have as many guys out as we do, you know, we need Nikola to be aggressive. So for him to get 32-12 with six assists, two more steals, and two more blocks in only 29 minutes is a very efficient night.
The Nuggets have won 10-12. They are again tied with the Clippers for third in the West. The Jazz have the top spot this morning after a 126-97 victory over the Spurs, and the Suns 135-103 loss in Atlanta. The Hawks now a half game behind those Knicks for fourth in the East. The Sixers winning in Houston 135-115 for a six-game win streak. The Celtics smoked the Magic 132-96, and the Blazers routed the Cavs 141 101-105, 32 points and 9 assists for Damian Lillard. The Yankee win streak is 5 after a 6-3 home win over the Astros. Giancarlo Stanton a homer and 4 RBI. The Red Sox losing to the Tigers at Fenway 6-5 and 11. The Rays beat the Angels 3-1 after Shohei Ohtani pitched 5 scoreless despite 6 walks. And the Jays scored 5 in the 8th for a 9-4 win in Oakland. In the NL, the Cubs rallied for a 6-5 win in 11 over the Dodgers and a 3-game sweep. The Mets beat the Cardinals 7-2 to split their doubleheader, and the Padres took their rubber game from the Pirates 4-2. The Miami Dolphins reportedly releasing safety Bobby McCain, and the Packers said to be exploring a QB or two to add for OTAs and camps. Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love, the only QBs currently on the roster, and who knows when Rodgers will show up. It was revenge night for the Rangers. 6 fights with the Capitals, including Brendan Smith jumping Tom Wilson.
I thought that it should have been handled before this game, and it wasn't. So unfortunately, it had to be kind of on my shoulders, and I thought I took it.
Wilson was only fined $5,000 for injuring Rangers winger Artemi Panarin Monday night. Washington won this game 4-2. All of that happening after the Rangers shockingly fired President John Davidson and GM Jeff Gordon. It apparently had nothing to do with the Wilson drama. Owner James Dolan said in a statement, "Fans need the leadership that will get them the success they deserve." Bill, back to you. Bill, back to you. Bill.
Mr. Bogish, thank you, buddy. Great update by Bogish, and it gave me the time to come up with a name for Tony La Russa. It's a work in progress. How about, Tony, what are the rules? I'll work on it. Don't even make that face, Bogish. You direct your condemnation and judgment to Tony La Russa. All right, send it to me, too. He doesn't know how to do baseball. I have trouble speaking. Feels like we're in a very similar boat. Phone number 855-212-4CBS. Let's do this. Let's do NBA Power Rankings next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Some will rise. Others will fall. Let the ranking begin on Writer Than You's NBA Power Rankings. Number five.
So the injury reality is the story. It is 100% the story of this NBA season. It just is. And I have cited a bunch of GMs and executives who called this months ago and who were right. The Utah Jazz sit here at number five. They'd be number one if Donovan Mitchell were healthy and were a sure thing to be the player that he was over the course of the season. But that's not where we find ourselves. That's not where we are. I think with his return and absolute health, they can be one of the best teams in the playoffs, not just the regular season. They have the third best offense in basketball. They're the best defensive team in basketball at times. I think they're like two right now. They come and go. They are deep when he's around. They are well coached. And it's a wide open Western Conference. But for me at least for me, without your star player, a guy that you have to create the offense that is even more critical in the postseason, because it's all about half-court offense, defenses shore up and rotations tighten, and you're playing the same team, you know, maybe for as many as 7 games, certainly for 4. Got to get 4 wins, obviously, to win one of those series. It's all about the ability to take personal excellence and have it thwart really great coaching and preparation. That's about superstars, and Utah needs theirs to be a real contender.
Number 4.
All right, Brooklyn Nets are here. I'm just up and down. I don't know. The reality is I don't know. I don't know if Harden's going to be healthy. I don't know if Durant's going to stay healthy. I don't know if Kyrie Irving's going to decide that he wants to play basketball. And one of the things about the Nets that I think is really interesting, and Tom made this point today, Kyrie Irving is so much happier and looser and free in this system that Steve Nash has him running than what Brad Stevens had him running. Brad Stevens had set plays. They wanted Kyrie's offensive brilliance, and it is offensive brilliance, to operate not just in a structure, but a pretty tight structure, right? Here are the boundaries of what we do, and we want you to be the exclamation point, the excellence within the boundaries. And for the Nets, it's a lot more free-flowing. It's not street ball. That's not fair. But it's just we have three, and it's really two, because Harden, KD, Kyrie have played 7 games together. But it's two, and maybe it'll be 3 in the playoffs. other world talents, and their offensive excellence is borderline not defendable, at least in the regular season. So a lot of it is just the improvisation, the jazz of these guys playing together. But it also leads to a lack of structure defensively. It does. And you've seen that. It's also, and I don't know if it's a direct correlation, led at times to a lack of effort by Kyrie Irving. I'm all over the numbers. I know what they're about. I know what their upside is. I know what their floor is. Four feels right. I don't think they're going to lose in the first round of a playoff series, though they could. I mean, they play the Miami Heat in the first round, and Harden's not healthy, and or Kyrie goes, you know, 3 of 14 from the three-point line, and or Kevin Durant goes 9 of 25 from the field and is really bad in the fourth quarter. And I'm not making these things up in terms of what will get me to a loss. I'm telling you things that I've watched again and again and again. And let me make this point about Kyrie. He's never won, ever won without LeBron James. That doesn't make him that different from Kevin Love. It doesn't make him that different in the postseason from a lot of guys. Like, there's a lot of dudes that have never won and aren't postseason stars. Russell Westbrook is one. Carmelo Anthony is one. Karl Anthony Towns is another one of those players. I can keep going, right? But all of those guys win multiple championships with LeBron James. At least one, and probably multiple championships with LeBron. So Kyrie's whole, he's won a championship, he hit a big shot. I want to hear it, man. He rode LeBron's coattails. There's too much uncertainty for me to put them any higher.
Number three.
All right, so where it gets tough. I think there's three contenders here. And there's a lot of ways to kind of assess and judge all of these teams. I've got the Sixers here at number three. I think that they're actually, arguably, the best team in the regular season. But we're at a point now, right? I can see, you can see the end of the regular season in the face. I can see it. It's there. It's not that far away. I'm going to start to mix in my belief a little bit, right? Maybe 15% of what this team is going to be in the postseason. I don't trust Ben Simmons offensively at the end of big games. And I know that not just because of years past, but some big fourth quarters this year where Philly's offense has really seized up and stopped operating because you have to be able to hit jump shots. I'll get to Milwaukee in a second, but how were the Bucks able to best the Nets and win some big games the last few weeks? Giannis hit jump shots, and it opened everything up. It made life so much easier for Chris Middleton. It made life so much easier for Jrue Holiday. It made that Milwaukee offense really dangerous and consistently good throughout the entirety of the game, and it really leaked and weaned away the defensive effort of a Nets team that's not good on defense. Philly's going to do that, the same thing to Brooklyn. They're going to have to go through Brooklyn or Milwaukee. Maybe both. And the inability for Simmons to literally hit a shot. He can't hit a jump shot. He cannot. I am not a good shooter. I'm an unathletic, under 6 foot dude. I'm a pretty good basketball player for like a YMCA guy. But I'm Rondo. I'm like short, unathletic, white Rondo, right? I can't shoot. I have a lot of anger. I can go to the hoop, and I'm real mad all the time. I'm part Rondo, part, what's that guy's name from Ted Lasso? I'm Roy Kent, and I'm mad all the time. But I don't play in the NBA. I'm a better shooter than Ben Simmons, and that is a sad, sad, and pathetic shot. Because I'm willing to take some of those shots when I have to. That's my concern on Philly. Love their defense. Not even worried about Joel Embiid's health. And let's be straight. Doc Rivers, and I've written about this extensively, holds a huge percentage of the rare collapses in NBA playoff history. 3-0 collapses, 3-1 collapses, 3-2 collapses. There aren't many of them. And those that exist, Doc Rivers was at the helm for several. You put it all together, and it just makes me worried. I'm sorry, Tobias Harris. They don't have the offensive shooter, right? Because if you can stretch the floor with Embiid's ability, and Embiid can shoot the three, but if you have like a guy, another, you need two. You need two. I don't think Embiid has the pieces around that he needs.
Number two.
I do think the Bucks have the pieces around them that they need. Jrue Holiday, not celebrated, not amazing stats. Give the Ringer credit. They put him in their top 25 that they dropped the other day. Jrue Holiday is a great addition to that team. Chris Middleton, who was an all-star for the first time last year or the year before, has continued to play like one. Giannis is not going to be the MVP this year, although I do wonder to what degree that's a mistake. I mean, they're probably not going to win the East, but if they win the Eastern Conference, I may have to revisit that, frankly, on my own ballot. But they are functioning at such a high level. They're playing great defensively. The Milwaukee Bucks would be, for me, and by the way, they just beat the Nets a few times. They've won some big games. They've shown they're the better squad right now. They've been through some of the fires and wars that the Nets haven't. Look, the Nets could fail this year. Part of the reason I doubt the Nets isn't just that I doubt them this year. I don't think Milwaukee has failed in the postseason the last 2 years. I think there's a real chance it made them stronger. If the Nets fail one time in the postseason, it's going to break that trio into a million pieces, let alone twice. I think Milwaukee has the fortitude and the mentality and, frankly, the failure in their background, the ability to handle the failure, that's going to make them successful.
Number one.
All hail the Phoenix Suns. I'm there. I mean, I've been there the entire time. I called this. This is just me patting myself on the back. This segment should be called, right? Well, I guess my show is called Righter Than You. You know what? The whole program is called that. I'm right on this one. Oh, we'll pull the tape. I might have Tom pull the tape. Man, I've actually gotten some stuff right. Gruden. I've gotten a lot of Mahomes. Phoenix Suns are a legit team. I said the Hawks would be a top six team and the Suns would be a top four team, and I got mocked by buddies of mine on my own show. Oh, Righter Than You. It's so cute. Let me tell you why you're wrong, hot taker. Bro. Put that groupthink aside. Welcome to the darkness that is the light of Righter Than You, because that's what we are. The Suns are a top 10 offense, or a top 10 defense. Devin Booker's a stud. They're really deep. They're really interesting. And Chris Paul should be and probably will be on my MVP ballot and the ballot of everybody. He has been a difference maker. Don't have to like him to respect him. Amazing, amazing turnaround. By the way, Phoenix Suns team that was undefeated in the bubble last year. Like, they were trending there anyway. Monty Williams might be coach of the year. It's been really impressive.
Honorable mention.
I'm actually going to go New York Knicks here. You guys deserve a little honor. You deserve a little bit of a mention. I actually don't even hate the Knicks. It's just Knicks fans make me mad sometimes. We're the best team ever. But they're really, really good. And I'm really, really impressed with what Tibbs has done. Nice job, bro. Way to work at it.
Here's your participation trophy.
All right, here we go. Who's this go to? I'm gonna give it to the Boston Celtics. I'm not sure I buy any of this, but you've been putting in some effort. You've been giving it a go. You've been giving it a whirl. We're gonna leave that as the last one. I'm out of time. Let's give the Boston Celtics just a little bit of a shout out. I don't think that they're gonna make a deep run in the playoffs, but I think they can. They get into that top six spot. Watch out, man. It's a talented, talented team. All right, we're halfway through this show. Let's keep it up with the NBA talk. I want to get into my MVP ballot. I'm an official voter. Shaq's weighed in, his top five, what it says about the state of the NBA when we come back in a moment here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, good morning. Welcome back into the program. Bill Writer with you here on the show. Thank you for listening. As always, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Phone number on the show, 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, Sports Writer, sports in my last name, R-E-I-T-E-R. You can also follow the executive producer of the program, Tom DiBenedetto, producer underscore Tom, and the man on the updates, Andrew Bogish, at Andrew Bogish. By the way, little programming alert, if you're not aware, obviously doing this show for the next hour, but I'll also be sticking around here on CBS Sports Radio, filling in for Jim Rome on the Jim Rome Show, which is always a lot of fun. I get to hang out with my buddy Alvin, my buddy Garrett, my buddy Hot Chocolate, because Garrett's going to bring like seven of them in. It's going to be an absolute blast. I'll be doing that tomorrow as well. So doing this show from 10 to noon Eastern time and the Jim Rome Show noon to 3 Eastern time today and tomorrow. CBS Sports Radio for the Jim Rome Show, as well as CBS Sports Network. Kyrie got fined. Nothing. This actually, it pisses me smoother, you know it off sometimes. When the NBA fines guys, I'm like, ooh, $35,000. We're going to apply a little math to it and tell you why it's a slap on the wrist and it's ridiculous. Shame on the NBA. We'll do some buy or sell at the end of the program. Maybe circle back to some Aaron Rodgers drama. I do love it. I mean, I do. The drama is good for me because I get to talk about it on Sports Talk Radio. It's good for me as a Bears fan. Justin Fields could literally be the best quarterback in that division in the NFC North any moment now. And we've got some precedent for this. Tom Brady forced his way out, made the Bucs a contender, and made the NFL, not that it needed the help, even more interesting. You put Aaron Rodgers in that AFC West, it is going to be on. I want it. And I like the Chiefs. You know this if you listen to the show. Lived in Kansas City. My kids were born there. Wrote about that Chiefs organization a lot. Got to know Clark Hunt, you know, fairly well for a reporter back in the day when I worked at the Kansas City Star. I like the Chiefs. I like their ownership, group, family. I like their fans a lot. I like Patrick Mahomes. But it would be hellaciously fun to see Aaron Rodgers make the Broncos or the Raiders contenders. It would. Now, the thing about the Niners, it would be amazing. Wouldn't it be something to just watch Aaron Rodgers curb stomp that team, the Packers? I mean, the thing is, there wouldn't be any playoff showdown because maybe we'll do this tomorrow. You know, I will do this tomorrow. I'll do this on a little program alert here, live program alert. Let's get into tomorrow how many games the Packers win without Rodgers and how many Denver, the Raiders, and the Niners win with Aaron Rodgers. I don't think I can put less than 10 wins on any of those teams if Aaron Rodgers goes. Anybody want to make a case that, well, actually, I guess it's a 17-week season. 11. I'll go 11. I mean, 11-6 feels like the worst-case scenario. All right, so we're getting down to NBA voting time for the MVP and all the awards. And you'll start to see rankings come out, ballots. I'm sure I'll write something over at CBSSports.com. Who are the worthy players? And being one of the five best players in the NBA doesn't necessarily translate to being the most valuable player. Most valuable player is an incredibly nebulous term that allows you really to fit in your own definition. Howard Beck, who's our friend, has one view. And team excellence, where they are in the standings, likelihood of a championship result impacts his, Sports Illustrated writer Howard Beck, his view. Tom Haverstraw has another view, also a friend of the show. Super talented guy. And he's a little more, what's the pure impact of that player? What is the pure impact of that guy? Sam Amick has another. Everybody's got their say. The Ringer came out with their top five NBA players, and they did it in order. I'm not going to. But they had Jokic, LeBron James, KD, Steph, and Embiid. They had Jokic one. All right. Vegas has their own way of calibrating who the best player in the NBA is by the likelihood of who's going to be the most valuable player, the MVP. And Vegas is often right, but not always. You could have gotten a pretty good number on Trey Lance at a certain point, which, by the way, not to digress, report out. I'm not sure I buy it. I have a report. It's our friend Mike Lombardi. I like Mike. But Mike made some noise on another radio network saying, you know, I think the Niners buckled to the pressure and we're going to take Mac Jones. But if you read it, it looks a little suspect. He said people that have sources believe this. He didn't say my sources have told me this. But Vegas thought it was Mac Jones. We kind of back it up. You can find an error in Vegas' odds sometimes. So I'm going to read you the odds for MVP this year in order. This is basically Vegas telling you who the top five players are based on likelihood of winning the most valuable player award. Nikola Jokic is the crazy favorite at 1-2. Then Joel Embiid at 13-2. Then Steph Curry at 18-1. Then Giannis at 25-1. Then Damian Lillard, interestingly, at 40-1. And wading into the conversation is Shaquille O'Neal. And I love the ranking conversation. I love the ranking question because when I had my one opportunity on television, I've interviewed LeBron James one-on-one, I don't know, three or four times. But the big one for me, just professionally, and in terms of his time, was sitting down in Akron, Ohio on camera when I worked at Fox Sports 1. And you only get, you know, 15. He gave me 20, I think. 15 minutes, 10 minutes, somewhere in that range. And I asked him, who are the three best players of all time? I love the ranking conversation. And I love it when players weigh in. I asked, and I'm a friend, I mean, he's a buddy of mine, and I like him. I asked Isaiah Thomas, the Piston Hall of Famer, to list the five best players of all time in order. And he, if memory serves, he didn't put Jordan on the list. I don't think he did. He didn't. I think it was the five best players he ever played against. But still, same question. Actually, should get Jordan even higher. And so Shaq's weighed in on his best five players in the NBA. And Tom DiBenedetto, I don't think this is in order, right? This is just Shaq randomly. Yeah, I think it's Shaq just give him five. Not in order. He went KD. Well, okay. Like I'm down with that. LeBron James, of course. LeBron's the best player on the face of the earth. Steph, who's on the Ringer's list, who's on Vegas' list, who's on my list. Embiid, same thing. And then he also went Damian Lillard. And the thing, and I don't hate it. I think, is Lillard a top five player? I think he probably is. And this is where you get into these difficulties with the MVP conversation. Because there are a lot of people who would argue that Jokic is not a top five player. Obviously, Shaq is one of them. But if Jokic isn't a top five player, how can he be the most valuable player in the NBA? What, because he's the healthiest guy on a contender who put up huge stats? The thing is, what Jokic has done is pretty historically amazing. To me, the name that's missing, and I don't understand it, I don't get the Giannis disrespect. Think about this. Giannis is a back-to-back MVP. Unlike Russell Westbrook, he has led his team to a top three so far. Could be better this year. We'll see how they finish in the East every one of the last 3 years, if you project what's going to happen this year. The Bucks are a contender right now. They just beat the Nets. They just showcased to the Nets that they have to be taken seriously. They're a game behind Brooklyn for that one spot, and they have the tiebreaker. They're one of the only teams in the NBA, Utah and Phoenix are the other two, who are top 10 in offense and defense, which, as I've said again and again and again and again and again, is a critically, historically important marker, indicator of excellence in the postseason. What's to come in the postseason? And I keep trying to put my finger on why I think the Bucks are poised for a really deep run. I keep trying to decide, you know, is it because I think the Nets are frail emotionally and physically? Is it because, you know, if they get there, LeBron just isn't himself and AD can't carry a team? Is it because Ben Simmons doesn't know how to shoot a basketball? He's basically pulled what's called a La Russa, where you don't know a critical part of what you do for a living. Is it because Boston has fallen off and Miami doesn't seem to have the same edge? And I think all of those things are yes. But I've, in trying to praise Milwaukee and Giannis, have fallen into the same disrespectful category. The Bucks aren't just great or poised for greatness because other teams aren't good. They're poised for greatness because the Milwaukee Bucks are great and nobody's paying attention. Giannis is, and I've said this for a couple years now, because I have a buddy who almost got Giannis to agree to a magazine story in a major, major magazine. But Giannis, before he was an MVP, said, only if I'm the cover. You see this Billie Eilish thing where she's on, I guess, British Vogue, and she is a little more sexualized, right? A little more, like, wow, like, hello. Than perhaps her brand was before, and people are weighing in, and pop culture writers and fans and just whatever. It's not my business. Your style is your style, says the guy who has no style. But still, that's how I roll. Billie Eilish gets branding, right? She understands the power of that conversation and talking about her. So does Giannis. A few years ago, turned down a pretty cool story because he couldn't quite get the guarantee he needed to be on the cover story of a similar magazine. Which means he's paying attention. He's got major aspirations. Gary Payton, the Hall of Famer, and a guy that I had the great pleasure to work with when I was doing NBA on-air work for Fox Sports 1, is friends with Jason Kidd, right? Jason Kidd is from the Bay, like GP. That's a So is Damian Lillard. That's a fraternity that matters to those guys. And point guards. And when Jason Kidd was the head coach in Milwaukee, GP went out and worked with Giannis on his ball handling skills. And Gary's a great guy and a very candid guy. Like, he'll look you in the eye and tell you that it was harder to guard Stockton than it was Jordan. You can look him back in the eye and say that's ridiculous, but that's what he actually thinks. And his take on Giannis was he's going to be a star because he already knows that he wants to be a star. He's already plotting what it means. My point is that Giannis is very strategic. He's very locked in. He's not that different than Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady or LeBron James or Clayton Kershaw in this LA market that I live in that he's not just a star, but he understands early how to wield that power. And he understands early what it is to be disrespected. That Giannis is not going to be considered for the MVP because he supposedly failed in the postseason the last 2 years. The fact that no one's taking him seriously, and his team. The fact that Shaq didn't make him a top. You're a back-to-back MVP, and Shaquille O'Neal says you're not a top five player. And the Ringer says you're not a top five player. And conversation after conversation with supposed experts say you're not a top five player. This, to me, is the secret sauce. This is the secret weapon of the Milwaukee Bucks. It's not just the motivation, right? We've seen guys come up with false motivation. Michael Jordan was still all mad at his Hall of Fame induction because he couldn't turn that switch off. Tom Brady's excellence went to a whole other level with Tampa Bay because he felt disrespected by the Patriots. You better believe Aaron Rodgers is going to have a career year next year when he's flinging the football for the Denver Broncos or whatever team is the beneficiary of his vile and of his frustration and his anger at the Packers. These things matter for certain players. And Giannis is one of those players. The Shaq conversation is interesting. I like it. I like rankings. I'm not mad at Shaquille O'Neal. But everybody, Shaq included, me included at times, forgetting about Giannis, doubting Giannis, pretending he's just some guy. Damian Lillard's a better player than Giannis Antetokounmpo? Really? Really? You sure? Joel Embiid's a better player than Giannis. Are you sure about that? The same people that voted Giannis the MVP the last 2 years are the ones leading the charge because they're just tired of him. You ever known that guy who can't date someone for more than like 3 weeks? Just gets tired. That is the exact psychological connection that the sort of national NBA mass media members have to the people that they elevate. I mean, I can't vote for LeBron. I've already voted for him twice in my life. Yeah, cool. He's the best player of all time. We're not going to give it to Jordan because he's won a lot. Karl Malone's pretty good. Let's give Steve Nash another one. Kobe will have his chance. Kobe Bryant made a career out of being angry about that slight. Shaquille O'Neal is still angry about that slight. I know Michael Jordan, wherever he is, Michael Jordan right now, I would bet dollars to donuts right now that Jordan is on a golf course, a huge cigar in his mouth, clearly about to four putt, still angry about some of those MVPs. Sorry, Mike. I've seen you golf. I think Giannis is built the same way. I think it's a really significant reality for why the Bucks could be really good. All right, 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. Kyrie Irving refuses to talk to the media. It's written into his contract that he has to. No one talks to the media because they want to post game, except James Jones when he was playing. Maybe him. Nobody. They do it because it's their job, because they're a pro. There are things I don't want to do in my job. There are things you don't want to do in your job. But if you're a pro, you're a pro, and you do it. I mean, ball players are the ultimate example of this. You don't talk to a starting pitcher before his start in the clubhouse. But if he pulls a Clayton Kershaw, like, you know, what Kershaw did against the Cubs the other day, if he goes one inning, four earned runs, you know what he does? He shows up, man, and he takes, think about that, about taking questions about how much you suck. If every time, yeah, you can insert your jokes here, I did a bad show. Like, okay, show sucked today. It was really terrible. 2 hours, really botched the second, third segment. You know, thanks for being here. We're going to take phone calls for the next hour, so you know, just privately, so you can ask me questions about how I have a job. Thanks. That's what these guys do all the time. I'm sure it's not easy. They show up. Kyrie didn't, and the NBA was toothless and cowardly in their response We'll put some math to that reality next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you. Thank you so much for hanging out. Thanks for being here. Remember, Saturday, it's a big day of sports on CBS, beginning at 1 Eastern, 10 Pacific, with the National Women's Soccer League Challenge Cup Final, then at 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific. It's off to the golf course, where some of the PGA Tour's best will be on the tee, competing at the Wells Fargo Championship. That's all coming up Saturday on CBS. I love that rejoin. When he's right, he's right. It's true. It's true for every person on earth. When he's not wrong, it turns out he's not wrong. Cool. Thank you. Thank you, guy with the big voice, for your overwhelming confidence in my ability. Phone number 855-212-4CBS. By the way, show, or I guess I, not this show, but I will roll on. I will continue here on radio, on CBS Sports Radio, when this program comes to a halt for the day in about 38 minutes. Filling in for Jim Rome on the Jim Rome Show, hanging out with the guys. Sitting here now at his beautiful, it really is a gorgeous studio. Noon to 3 Eastern time, 9 to noon Pacific time. Filling in for Jim Rome tomorrow, which is always a pleasure. Huge Jim Rome fan. Amazing dude. Been amazing to me. And love working with the guys who are part of the show. So that'll be a lot of fun. Stick around. JimRome.com, Odyssey.com, your hopefully wonderful, wonderful affiliate. Again, phone number here on this show, 855-212-4CBS. Kyrie Irving is required by contract to talk to the media. It's not his fault. Excuse me, it's not my fault. It's his fault. It's not my fault or your fault that he doesn't want to do his job. That's his job. He just refused to do it. It's obnoxious, it's petty, it's small. And the thing that I find really frustrating about it is not what might be your very reasonable and normal reaction. Nobody, why do you have to talk to the media? Nobody wants to talk to the media. Yeah, I get it. Nobody wants to write obituaries when they work in a newspaper. Guess what you do sometimes? You write obituaries. I'll give you my life experience. Nobody wants to work the weekend shift when you work at a newspaper. Guess what happens every 6 weeks? You work the weekend shift. Not everybody wants to work with me. Look what happened to Andrew Bogish. What's he doing? Yeah, life's not always fair. There are certain roles and jobs that are required. It's part of the deal. Don't want to talk to the press. You think LeBron wants to talk to the press? You think Kevin Durant comes to work every day in Brooklyn and says, oh my God, I cannot wait to after the game. I get to talk to the media. Phil Biter might be there. It's going to be amazing. I can't. No, he doesn't, but he's a pro and he does it. It is part of the requirement. This has been going on for months, man. Back in December, the NBA fined him some money. And this was Kyrie's obnoxious, self-serving, look at me insulting response. I'm just going to read it to you. I pray we utilize the fine money for the marginalized communities in need, especially seeing where our world is presently. I am here for peace, love, and greatness. Stop distracting me and my team and appreciate the art. We move different over here. I do not talk to pawns. My attention is worth more time, end quote. Cool. Thanks, Michelangelo. Thanks for painting the Sistine Chapel for us. I don't even want to rehash this, but I'm going to. It's a distraction for his team. It violates the rules the NBA set down. It's part of his job. But what's the old George Bush, fool me once? Shame on you. Fool me. Can't fool me again, right? I mean, fool me once, sure. Shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. That's my problem. This time around, because Kyrie's still not talking to the media, this is an NBA problem. This is an Adam Silver problem. Because once you start to disrespect the media, the next step is disrespecting the fans. Let me give you a little insight into NBA players and NFL players and Major League Baseball players. They don't distinguish between the media and the fans. It's not you and them against us. That's not the way that it works. There's a reason the guys that tend to be good to the media are pretty good to the fans. Because they understand it's a collective. There are insiders who play for those teams and work for those teams, and there are outsiders. And the NBA is going to make a statement here. Instead, they find the guy pocket change. Got this email. I think it was last night. Might have been this morning. NBA fines Kyrie Irving $35,000. And, that's a lot of money to me. It's a lot of money to Tom. That's a little bit of money to Andrew Bogut. Because of his roulette hot streak I keep hearing about. That is nothing to Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving makes $34, $35 million a year. $35,000 is 1/10 of a percentage point of his income. I don't know what people make. I'm just going to use Garrett Ritt as an example. Oh, Garrett said he makes the big money. Let's say that Garrett Ritt, one of the producers for the Jim Rome Show, makes $100,000 a year. Let's just make the math easy. The equivalent fine, the same amount of money out of his pocketbook that the NBA took out of Kyrie's would be $100. That's it. Garrett is going to get a bigger fine when he parks in Manhattan Beach, California and gets a parking ticket because he had to run and get a hot chocolate than he is from the NBA's serious punishment. Can you imagine, like, if Jim Rome sent out a press release? The Jim Rome Show announced Tuesday that Garrett Ritt, for continued chocolate consumption during the show and just general Thursday-isms, has been fined $100. Oh! Stop the freaking presses! He got fined $100! Well, now it's over! No more hot chocolate for him! Get that man a coffee! He'll choke it down. Get out of here. Let's say, and I don't think I am, because he's a valuable man, but just for the sake of the math, right? Let's get it closer to my income level. Let's say that Garrett has had his $100,000 income chopped in half by Jim for all the hot chocolate. He's at 50 grand, right? He's making 50 grand a year. The equivalent fine is 50 bucks. If you make $50,000 a year, wherever you're listening, Kyrie Irving's fine of $35,000 is the equivalent to you losing $50. It's nothing. It's an insult. It's better not to fine him at all. They're winking at Kyrie Irving. Adam Silver is winking at Kyrie Irving and saying, you know what? I don't like them. Don't talk. Don't worry about it. Well, arrogance, pride cometh before the fall, my friends. I'm not sure there's a bigger star on the face of the earth than LeBron James. And do you know what he does after games? And certainly after playoff games, he talks to the media. Now, I don't think he's there yet, but I think Patrick Mahomes is going to be on that level. I do. I think he's going to be a seismic presence in the sports pop culture landscape for a really long time. Patrick Mahomes talks to the press. He talks to the media at least twice a week during the season. He does availability Tuesdays usually. It can be Wednesdays. I'm not sure if the Chiefs do. Probably Tuesdays. And then he talks postgame. By the way, he does it at a podium. That's the other thing that makes me really angry about this. In the NBA... and in the playoffs, but in the NBA regular season, you don't have to talk in a podium. And Kyrie pulls this whisper move, like we're not, like, just thinking, like he's obnoxious in it. When he shows up for his media obligations, he still doesn't do his media obligations because it's called a scrum and you have to push around and you have to fight your fellow reporter and hold your microphone over somebody's, you know, shoulder, and then the person next to you says, Ryder, did you use deodorant? And then you're feeling self-conscious, trying to remember if that guy's a good guy or bad. That's how that works. He won't even do that. Shame on you, NBA, you cowards. Fine him $50,000 a day. Fine him $70,000. Fine him the equivalent, for those of you that make 50 grand a year, of $100 a day. At least it's something. Do it every day until he talks. I didn't come up with the rules. I didn't put it in the contract. That was the NBA and the Players Association. I'm not making this up. I'm not saying Kyrie Irving should go to the Bill Ryder, Henry Ryder birthday party and put in an appearance. I'm not making requirements that are unreasonable. This guy's not a pro. He's not a pro. He's about him and his own attention seeking and his art with a capital A. This guy thinks he's Michelangelo. This dude puts a ball in a hoop. And I say that as someone who is like 5 degrees below that, because I talk about people that put balls in hoops. But I know myself. I'm not walking around thinking I'm curing cancer. Are we kidding? I played tennis yesterday with a guy. He buys and sells apartment buildings. Really good dude. He's like, what do you do? I'm like, I told him, right? He's like, oh, is that fun? I'm like, it's really fun, man. It's like Peter Pan. It's great. I was like, you know what? I bring art to the world, Cam. That's what I do. I introduce to the universe beauty. I bring colors no one's ever seen. Don't ever look me in the eye. Don't look me in the eye. I mean, that's what Kyrie is. Get out of here. Stop it. Makes Andrew Bogut look humble. Come on. All right. We'll do buy or sell in a minute here. But first, he's wearing a Mets shirt. His beard has become even more luminous and beautiful. He's probably watched 17 Marvel films since I last talked to him. And he's got a magical, not a good, not even one based in like realism. He's got a magical update for you starting right now, Mr. Bogut.
And because I'm nice to you, it begins with a Cubs win against the Dodgers, who led in the 8th, the 10th, and the 11th last night at Wrigley, but still lost again 6-5 on an Anthony Rizzo game-ending RBI single. LA is 4-13 since start of the season, 13-2. Max Muncy was asked post-game if there's frustration in the clubhouse.
Yeah, we're absolutely frustrated. We're way better than this.
The Dodgers have the day off before starting a series in Anaheim. The Angels on a four-game skid after last night's 3-1 loss to the Rays. The Jays got a 9-4 win in Oakland, and the Tigers snapped a six-game skid 6-5 in 10 at Fenway. The Boston Celtics set Kemba Walker back last night, and it went well in Orlando.
Smart diagonal kick out to an open Kemba for three.
Man, and the whole bench stood up. They knew that was
beautiful.
They knew that. His form, his rotation, his splash, everything looked good.
This is an 11-0 Kemba Walker run. He's the only player on the floor who has scored in the last 3 minutes, and Steve Clifford says,
Why don't
we do something
Sean
about
Grandy,
that?
Cedric Maxwell, Celtics radio. Walker, 32 points after missing four with an oblique injury. Boston routing Orlando, 132-96. The Celtics take over sixth in the East, dropping Miami to number seven. The Jazz roughed up the Spurs, 126-94, while the Suns were losing in Atlanta, 135-103, so Utah back atop the West this morning. The Nuggets cooled off the Knicks, 113-97. The Bucks outscored the Wizards 135-134 for a four-game win streak, and the Sixers won in Houston 135-115. Joel Embiid 34 points and 12 boards in just 25 minutes. The Lions have reportedly signed center Frank Ragnow to a four-year $54 million deal, which would make him the highest-paid center in the league. The Dolphins releasing safety Bobby McCain, and the Packers reportedly exploring QB options for OTAs and camps because only Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love on the roster right now, and obviously Rodgers might not be around during the offseason. A Rangers advisor, Glenn Sather, said this morning yesterday's firing of President John Davidson and GM Jeff Gordon has nothing to do with the team's drama surrounding Washington forward Tom Wilson. The teams combined for 100 penalty minutes in the first period of last night's rematch. The Caps won it 4-2. The Jets were 4-0 winners in Calgary to clinch a playoff spot, and UEFA reportedly considering the stiffest of punishments for clubs still clinging to the idea of that Super League. That would be a 2-year ban from the Champions and Europa Leagues. Juventus, Real Madrid, Barcelona, AC Milan, the ones in danger of this because they still might be open to a legal battle with soccer's governing bodies. Bill, back to you. Bill, back to you.
Bogut.
Bill, back to you.
Great work, buddy. Let's do buy or sell next here on CBS Sports Radio.
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Writer Than You.
All right, Bill, you got me?
I got you, dude. Congratulations, Chelsea.
Yeah. I guess we can start there. You kind of spoiled it, but Chelsea is now through to the Champions League final. Christian Pulisic, the American, entered the game as a substitute. He did not start, but he did get an assist, and he will become the first American to play in a Champions League final. Buy or sell, Pulisic is not getting nearly the attention he should be right now.
100% buy. I watched that match with the kind of fervor that's only possible when you hate the team that is playing someone. I do not like Real Madrid. I am a Barcelona fan. Barcelona's La Liga hopes hinge now on several things. They have to win out. They also need Real Madrid to drop points because they couldn't even get a win against Granada. None of you care. The point is, I hate Real Madrid, and I really enjoyed watching Real Madrid lose. And Pulisic was amazing. And I don't watch as many Premier League games as you do, Tom, let alone Chelsea games, but the way that he attacked, his dribbling skills, the way he created space that I couldn't even see against multiple defenders, and created pockets for his teammates, including the assist that actually went through. But there were several, and I only watched the second half. I was doing some NBA work. There were several crosses he put through. It was beautiful football, soccer. There was just nobody there. He is a remarkable talent, and you and I discussed this earlier. Sergiño Dest plays basically right wing back for the Barcelona squad, and he will be great one match, mediocre two matches, and bad a fourth match. That's kind of the percentage. And he probably deserves to be out there. When he went and played with the men's national team, he was the best player on the team because of that experience. I mean, this is going to have Pulisic's experience in the Champions League is going to have a huge impact on his performance when he gets to that national team. And the level of competition won't be nearly this high until the U.S. starts to do some serious things. It's very exciting, and he should be getting more credit. And he will in this country when the World Cup eventually rolls around in good old Qatar.
And maybe being a little more honest about his situation with the media will actually help him get some attention because, as I mentioned, he did not start in that game despite the fact that he scored in the first game. Then he came on, and as you mentioned, and I agree, and pretty much everybody else says, he was brilliant the rest of that game. CBS Sports, after the game, tweeted a quote from him. "I'm very frustrated. I've had to prove myself over and over again." And this is with regards to not starting the game yesterday. So as well as things seem to be going, Christian is now actually starting to push back a little bit on the club, really, because of his success. He's in a leverage position now. But buy or sell, he has a point.
Buy. And I like that Christian's being a little pugilistic.
Buy.
Yeah. Push that buy.
Buy.
Let's go with it. I really did botch the Tony La Russa name. Like, there's something there. You know, Tony, what are the rules?
You're so close.
I'm close.
Like, you're right on the verge. It's on the tip of your tongue, but
I'm
that's
close.
Not it.
You'd think that's I was 76. And actually, that's not true. My dad's 76. You can be 76 and be just fine. I apologize to older people. I'm an old person. La Russa just sucks. Can we just say it? He sucks.
All right, let's jump to some baseball. John Means of the Orioles faced the minimum 27 batters yesterday and dominating the Mariners, but he does not get credit for a perfect game. This is due to a dropped third strike in the third inning, which allowed a solitary base runner who was then caught stealing. According to Major League Baseball, the performance made Means the first pitcher to throw a non-perfect no-hitter in which the team did not record a walk, hit by pitch, or error. The first one. Buy or sell a no-hitter this unique is actually better than a perfect game.
I actually was going to make the argument, so I'll buy it. You read my mind. I mean, it is a perfect game, even though it's technically not. But yes, they had to create a new category in order to properly define what he accomplished. It is hard in a sport with as much history and tradition and frankly games, right? I mean, there's a huge sample size per season, let alone the century plus that we have of Major League Baseball, to have all the weird things happen, and that this has only happened one time in the history of a sport that's been around for a very long time. It's incredibly cool.
It's a big evening in Los Angeles as the Lakers and Clippers have a gigantic game tonight, although unfortunately LeBron will not be available still for the Lakers. Fighting to avoid the play-in game and secure a top six seed, the Lakers, have to view this as a critical opportunity, especially since they have to deal with the Blazers on a back-to-back tomorrow night. The Clippers are unsurprisingly thus 8-point favorites for the game tonight. Buy or sell a Clippers win and cover over the Lakers in this critical game tonight.
Man, because it is critical, and so I don't know where playoff P is going to fall. Has anyone given themselves a name that's, like, less true? I mean, like, if Tony La Russa came out tomorrow and, like, I'm going to call myself Steel Trap. From now on, you have to refer to me as Steel Trap because my mind operates like one. No, man. I guess the answer to that question could be the program being called Writer Than You. But I didn't come up with it. I don't trust Paul George in big games. The Lakers will not have LeBron James. I'm going to dive into this tomorrow on this show and on the Jim Rome show post LA versus LA. If the Clippers can't beat the Lakers this time, I don't mean tonight, I mean this year, right? Advance further in the postseason, take over the mantle at least momentarily of LA's team. It will never happen. It will never. This is it. This is the time. Do I think? Yeah, I think they're going to crush him.
Bye.
I had to get there. I had to get there. I think they will, and I think the Lakers used up a lot of their good basketball karma in that win against the Nuggets the other night.
And despite the fact that the Lakers have been struggling, they are still one of the two favorite teams right now, according to sportsbooks, to win the NBA Finals along with the Nets. The Nets are at plus 200. The Lakers are the next best odds at plus 375. Buy or sell, the Nets and Lakers should still be the NBA Finals betting favorites.
Every time I go on CBS Sports HQ, and I like these guys, the host will say, you know, what do you mean by the Lakers? And I'll say, blah, 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 blah. Do you think they're contenders? Well, I think there's a chance they're not going to make it. Vegas thinks you're wrong. Gotcha. All right, we're CBS Sports HQ. Yeah, I'm aware of what I think it's a bad bet. I think there's a few things going on. One, you are, if LeBron comes back and he's 100%, then it's a really good bet. I understand that. Two, LA is really close to Vegas, and the odds on LA teams are always going to have a lack of value because a lot of LA money funnels into Las Vegas and affects where the books are at. That's just, it's a reality. I mean, people go there for the weekend. I think it's really possible that it's going to be the Lakers. I just think that the odds are not as good as you're getting. So my selling, is that
sell.
The original question?
Yeah.
It could be a sell, yeah.
I'll sell. LeBron could be totally healthy. The biggest concern to me is not that he rushed himself back, well, that's a concern. Not that he's missing all this time, that's a concern. It's his comment about he'll never be 100% again, knowing that, and I've talked about this on this show, Tom, and on CBS Sports HQ, knowing that athletes look, sort of one of the unwritten realities of covering the NBA is you don't ask guys if they're 100% because they'll tell you no one's 100% after Christmas, but especially in April or May. LeBron knows that. LeBron is like at the forefront of that, like that's an amateur hour question. So for LeBron to lean into that terminology for the average fan, I think speaks to a physical reality for him that's new and that's frustrating. And I think in the context of this ankle injury is disconcerting.
All right, so if you heard the Andrew Bogish update last segment, you heard Max Muncy venting following the Dodgers sweep at the hands of their Cubbies, Bill. He said he was, quote, absolutely frustrated that the team is better than this. The Cubs somehow managed to get past Kershaw, Bauer, and Buehler on consecutive days. They won on a walk-off yesterday. Buy or sell, though, Bill, this period of turmoil will actually benefit the Dodgers in the long run.
You know, I'll buy it. I still think the Dodgers are the best team in baseball. If we did an MLB power rankings today, I would make them the best team in baseball. I don't think Kershaw is going to give up 4 earned runs in a single inning outing every single time that he takes the mound. That was a very bizarre outcome. Bauer's still a great pitcher. Walker Buehler's still a great pitcher. The Dustin May thing hurts, but they have an amazing amount of talent. No one's really paying attention to this because they're losing, but Gavin Lux has returned from injury and is playing really well. Like, he's swinging a really nice bat, and probably by July or August, he'll be another one of these guys who's going to win the Rookie of the Year. We'll talk about the Dodgers' ridiculous farm system. No, I think the Dodgers are going to be just fine, and I'm with you, Tom. Losing, having struggle, getting angry, it's a good thing for a team that's won the NL West 8 years in a row, has made 2 of the last 3 World Series and won the last one, right? Keeps you focused, keeps you sharp.
Yeah, the talk has changed from 115 wins to, really, really.
Right. And the Giants and the Padres are really good baseball teams. So, you know, I get where the talk's at, but you're right. No, it's gone from can anybody win 120 games to will they win their division?
Exactly. All right, we'll end here. You mentioned it earlier, Michael Lombardi of The Athletic and the former GM of the Browns suggested the Niners did actually trade up for Mac Jones, just got pressured off of that spot by media/fans. So buy or sell, the media or fans had anything to do with the Niners' decision to take Trey Lance 3rd overall in the NFL draft?
Let me just think for two seconds. Sell.
Sell.
I like Mike. I think we thought about getting Mike on the show, you know, on Jim's show, on the Jim Rome show today or tomorrow. And we'll get him in at some point on our show or the next time I have the opportunity to fill in for Jim. But no. I don't believe it. I also know that GMs are petty and sources will say things that aren't true to make people look bad. And you have to. It's not easy to be able to distinguish between the two. Now, maybe Mike has sourcing that I'm not aware of and he's all over it. But my reading of his interview was it was much more conversational in what he was sort of speculating at. I just don't believe it. Now, they might have had second thoughts about Mac Jones, but all athletes and decision makers in sports, but especially in the NFL, operate really in a silo and a vacuum. Their problem is not that fans and media influence their decision making. Their problem is they often don't see reality because they're not paying attention to the background noise of fans and media that sometimes is telling them what's what. But it's never who you should draft. It's hey, bro, this guy can't throw the football anymore, but you're in your own little like bunker mentality. I think that happened with the Dolphins and Tua, frankly, right? Like, hey, we can all kind of see that you're ruining Tua. Maybe don't start him and then pull him again and again and publicly humiliate him several weeks in a row as a rookie. That is a time where there's a tone deafness, not in the other direction where it's this kind of a situation. They may have made an assessment and changed their assessment. They may have come to the same conclusion that the media did, but very few organizations care what fans of the media think, and certainly not the Niners. I mean, of any organization that wouldn't be swayed outside of the Patriots, I think that would be the top of the list. A fun show. Appreciate all the hard work from Tom calling from his private jet as he flies to, I don't even know where is the champion? Is it in Turkey? Is that where the final is going to be this time around? I think it's Turkey. Oh, yeah, Istanbul. I'm being told from Garrett Ripp, who literally was so excited to tell me he spilled his hot chocolate on his shirt. By literally, I mean I am literally lying to you. Garrett, Alvin DeLauro, going to help out in just a moment here on the Jim Rome Show, which I'll be filling in for the next 3 hours. We'll have Tony Gwynn Jr. talks in baseball. National NBA writers Kurt Heelan and Jeffrey Zilgit will be on the program. And my buddy Brady Papinga, former Packer, friend of Aaron Rodgers, will give us some insight on that turmoil in Green Bay. Thanks for hanging out. I'm Bill Ryder. We'll see you back here tomorrow on CBS Sports Radio.